This episode of the Haunted Road Trip Show is brought to you by Studio One, Vazi Pilates. To claim your free gift now, check the show notes.
Welcome to the Haunted Road Trip Show, where we bring you powerful conversations, insights, and exciting site investigations that reveal the paranormal world in a way you've never seen before. Prepare to have your thirst for curiosity satisfied.
Hello, everybody. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Haunted Road Trips Show. I don't keep track of the episode numbers. Who cares?
Right.
Honestly. But what I got for you for today, y'all, is I have somebody that I've been on her podcast. She comes highly recommended. She goes by the name of Paranormal Karen because she is. And I just want her to introduce herself because she can do it much better than I ever could. Karen, tell us about yourself. Where are you? Where are you from?
I will. And by the way, Tracy, thank you for having me on this. I love this format. I love what you're doing. It is wonderful to be here. So I am a Paranormal Karen. Let me see how I can encapsulate this quickly. So I am a stand-up comedian. I've been a stand-up comedian for probably 38 years on the road. And I used to investigate haunted places when I was on the road. And then I got involved in the paranormal. I was trying to do funny little videos, which I do now. But when I was first starting out, I reached out to these two guys that had a paranormal podcast. And I was like, hey, do you guys want a comedy reporter? And they were like, yeah. And I met them, and that didn't last long. But the one guy I met there has turned out to be not only like one of my best friends in the world and my mentor, but he's also a TV producer, and he's going to do my next special. So anyways, and it's a weird thing to double back, but I feel like meeting him was so key in that he doesn't like to use the term demonologist because he doesn't have the exact title, but he's all about being humble and protecting, and he really saved my butt quite a few times. So he's really my mentor where I got started. And I've been a tarot reader probably for 25-30 years.
Yeah,
and I also do a show called Psychic Stand-Up where I do it all of those things together on stage. That's my favorite thing to do.
Yes, and it definitely is. Karen has many, many talents, y'all. Go check her out on her social media channels, especially her TikToks. She is just absolutely hilarious. And I think that combining tarot with stand-up comedy is just absolutely genius. And that is just like comedic gold right there.
It is. It's a really fun thing, and it's unexpected, and that's my dream, and it's starting to get on the road and really blow up right now, so I'm pretty happy.
It is. You kind of remind me of, I can't remember his name right now on TikTok, but I want to, but he just has like a specific section in his audience. Like, if you sit here at these tables, like, I'm gonna question you, you're gonna get roasted, and he'll just be like, what's your relationship? Like, he just will, like, and he doesn't do it rudely or anything. It's very funny. And when I think of the name, I'll tell you later.
Is it Matt Rife?
Huh?
Is it Matt Rife?
No. Oh, no. No, no.
Okay, because I was like,
no, 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 no. This guy, he is, oh my God.
Don't worry. I'm sure I know him.
I'll send you his TikTok profile later. But he is just, I adore him every time I listen to his stuff. But you guys, what I want to do, a little bit of a newer format. So I found a ghost story, a haunting I want to talk about. And I love it because it's in your current neck of the woods where you're at currently.
Which is unbelievably crazy. Like, I've never lived in such a haunted place.
Yes. We're in the state of New York.
Mm-hmm.
We're in New York City. Picture it. Greenwich Village, 1790s. We're kicking it, right? Kicking it back then.
We're old.
We're old. We are ancient, okay? And we're going to a place that's now called one if by land, two if by sea. Exactly. I said, when I found this story, let me do some more investigating, right? Cue, dun, dun, dun. Of course, it has political rivalries, duels, deaths, brothels, a mysterious lady in black who broke her neck on the steps.
And this is all just last week.
Yeah. I mean, this is all like in 4 news days, right?
Yes.
This place has got it all, you guys. You want a little funny girl haunting? You've got it. You want the mysterious lady in black that might or might not push you up or down the stairs? You got it. Mysterious noises coming from a place that used to be a brothel upstairs? You got that too.
It's the trifecta.
It is the trifecta. Once again, it is 1 of by land, 2 of by sea. So the story goes that way back in the 1790s, kids, that's like, you know, long time ago, Alexander Burr bought this place, and he originally had it as his carriage house. And for those who don't really know what a carriage house is, it's what they call the garage back in the day. Okay. That was the garage for you, literally your horse and your carriage. And him and his daughter, who her name was Theodosia. I had to make sure I know. Like, that already sounds like a woman I don't want to mess with. On there. And he bought this place, right? And, you know, the story goes, and we're not exactly sure, but basically, Alexander Hamilton was his political rival of the day.
Wow.
And basically, for modern day's terms, you know, they started talking trash about each other online, right? Saying things in articles, this and this, possibly some inference between, you know, I don't know what they would call it, but rumored romantic relationships between Theodosia and Alexander Hamilton, which back then could have ruined people's lives.
Yeah.
Right?
What would they call that? A tete-a-tete?
I don't know. You know, I was like, yeah, I like that. I want to say that word, tete-a-tete. Ooh. I want to get out of French fan and just wake myself up.
I don't even know if that's what it means.
Right?
It's just shooting in the dark there.
Exactly. We'll figure it out. I'm sure somebody online won't mind correcting us.
Yes.
So we have these players that are originally on the scene in the 1790s, right? And so, you know, eventually, and I don't know who called this, but eventually it was like, we're going to meet in the streets and we're going to settle this like men. We're going to have a duel, right? Back in the day, you know? So they met up in New Jersey for this duel.
Wait, I have a question.
Uh-huh.
First of all, we still have those duels here in Utica. I don't know why, but we when, just really quick, the other day there was a police report. Stay in your house, there's a man running around with a machete. So I don't know. The next day, 6 police cars and a SWAT team at my place, and then it turns out they're at the wrong apartment. So out of that stuff, why did they go to New Jersey?
You know, I don't know. I couldn't figure that out. I don't know if the streets in New York City weren't appropriate. I don't know if it was a law thing that they had to do duels in parks or.
New Jersey is much better for violence. I've worked in New Jersey.
I mean, you know, it's known for its body count, right? I mean.
Yes. If you're going to have violence, it'll really be appreciated in New Jersey. Atlantic City, really, the most.
There you go. And so they had their duel. And unfortunately, Alexander Hamilton ended up succumbing to his injuries from that. Yes.
Wow. Was this in the musical?
You know, that's what I was thinking, and I haven't been blessed enough yet to be able to go and see it. But like, this was like, I was like, okay, now I got to go see this because,
right?
I gotta see how the story ends there. But you know how karma comes back. And karma came back and bit Mr. Burrell all up in the butt, because after that, his political career tanked. He ended up losing all of his property, including the carriage house.
And he didn't get a musical.
He didn't get his line, right?
No one's going to see Burrell.
No, yes, exactly. You know, him and his daughter had to go off into history, and I couldn't really find exactly trails of what happened to them then, but I'm sure somebody can inform us. But one little fun fact about this is how I knew Theodosia was a tough woman, is because I kept reading reports that she was supposedly kidnapped by pirates on the way from South Carolina to New York to see her father. And supposedly, allegedly, maybe they made her walk the plank at some point.
Wow. So they, you know, pirates are scary. I know that we've made them fun and a ride at Disney, but pirates are like the original human traffickers.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, they were not like warm and fuzzy, y'all. Like, they were straight up like traffickers. Like, they were not going to play around.
So she was either tough or so awful, they just didn't want anything to do with her.
Or they wanted to see if they could hold her for ransom because of her daddy.
That sounds like it.
That's what I think got her out of that. Because I'm like, I'm sure your mouth probably got you on the plank, but your daddy probably got you off the plank.
There was a little, do you know who I am going on there?
I'm sure. I can picture that, because as soon as I heard that name, all of it just started flooding me. I was like, okay, I think I know exactly who this type of personality is. And I do believe, I would love to get in there, but my suspicion is she might be the woman in black. I don't know.
I think she would like me, because I would have great appreciation for going up against pirates.
I would too. I'd be like, girl, let me pour you a drink. Tell me, you know, like, what's up? Like, did you have like a romantic kiss with them? Was it like, I dare you to put me on the plane? Come on.
I know.
Or was it like, I'm a tough woman, I can do this, I want to hear the story. So also, this place comes intact with a mysterious underground tunnel that led right to the Hudson. Could have been used for smuggling, underground railroad, who knows what, prostitution, even after it was in a brothel. But in the 1890s, yeah, it did get turned into a brothel, a pub, a brothel, a silent movie house, a pub, a bar, a pub, a bar, a pub, a bar. So we have lots of drinking and debauchery and shenanigans going on in this place.
Just like Utica. Just like my place.
And on top of it, I looked at it, I said, that was a firehouse at one time. And I was reading and I was like, yep, it was also a fire station at one point. Yeah. Because you can tell because of the big doors on the outside. But throughout then, I couldn't find reports of exact deaths that had been recorded there. I only could find same story being repeated in other places. But apparently, the lady in black, apparently she had fallen down the steps, tripped over her dress, and broke her neck. And reportedly, there is a girl that is from a Follies group.
Ziegfeld Follies or a...
Yeah, that's the exact word. I was like, I almost said the name of a funeral home I knew, and I was like, no, that's not it.
Very different type of dancing going on.
That's not it. It sounds very similar, though. And there is also reports of like other types of hauntings going on there. We have earrings being pulled. We have picture frames moving. We have people being pushed and shoved. We have lights flickering. All of it. We've got all the alls, right? In there. We got the moans. We got the groans. We've got it all in here, on there. And yet, I'm not sure about how many too many actual paranormal investigations have been in there yet, but I would do it.
I would go in. I would go in. You know, plus the thing that people don't, even where I'm living right now in Utica, where I'm living, Civil War, Revolutionary War, French War, like it's heavy. The East Coast is really, that's where we came and started clearing people out. So it's so over. I almost want to curse. I don't know that cursed is the right word, but some of the land maybe. And that being so repetitively and used for the same thing over and over and over. We know bars are the most haunted places around.
Oh my God. Yeah. I step into a bar for like any, I don't drink, but if I have to go to a bar to see a band or for some reason, I'm like, oh God.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it, and especially, yes, this is straight up, you know, early East Coast, early, you know, colonization. It, you know, it's mine. I was here second. I don't care. Mm-hmm. Type of people. But this place has, they say have it all, and it's been turned into apparently a very, I don't know the term in restaurants, but it's a very fine dining where a lot of people get proposed to of that. Yeah. All of that kind of stuff. But I really want to know about, I suspect when I was reading that, I kept feeling there's something more with these brothels that like hasn't been talked about or hasn't been said about. Because I'm like, brothels are notorious for murders. They are notorious for people going missing. They are notorious for all of that. And with that tunnel being in there, conveniently located right next to the river, I'm just saying.
Yep. Yep. A lot of Shanghai. Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because, yeah, I went with someone to one of the, I went with another comic. I was looking for ghost stories. This is really interesting. Side note, sorry. I was looking for people to tell ghost stories for my podcast. And a friend of mine took me to a brothel in Nevada. And I met some of the girls that worked there.
At the Bunny Ranch.
It wasn't that one. It was a different one.
Okay.
They were like the biggest non-believers I've ever met. Like no one had a story, no one. And I felt like it was a defense mechanism, but man, the haunted people that drop off crap there, it just felt, you felt dirty, not because of what it was, but you just were like, oh, it's almost like you feel like the air was so thick you were breathing paranormal.
Wow. Yeah, I can believe it because those brothels are where like you like there's just a lot of an energy dump.
Yeah.
Like literally. And people literally like show themselves as their authentic selves in those types of rooms. And it sounds really weird, but like sometimes, you know, people who are in that industry hear, you know, secrets and things like that that their clients aren't telling anybody else in their life.
Yeah. And sometimes, I mean, I don't know if this is too far over the, but sometimes when people have attachments, I've seen attachments really turn men into awful. That if you have an attachment or you've made a deal with something, you have to feed it.
Yep.
And that's a way to feed it.
Yep. And it's you know, when you get those things that just kind of drive your behavior, you just want to go to these places. And so when I was reading about this, I was like, there's a lot more going on. And honestly, I've seen some places that want to portray their paranormal activity as jokester and playful and things like that, when it's really maybe a little bit more intense than that. And there's some things going on, but they don't want to ruin the public image.
Yep.
Of it. Because honestly, like the paranormal brings in money. So of course, if you have a haunted place, you're going to like advertise it.
It's one or the other. Either they're so afraid of it or they're so like it. Just out of curiosity, I would not go to Bobby Mackey's. Would you go to Bobby Mackey's?
I would because I am the, I need to get my own truth.
Mm-hmm.
I would go there. I would say this. I would go there to get my own truth, but only if I could be of some type of service to spirit there. Like, not just to quench my own egoic curiosity, but it would be like, okay, you know, like, can I help the public here? Can I help whatever?
I was supposed to go to a paranormal convention there. And literally, I was like, oh, this was when I lived in LA. I was like, oh, I'm on that side of the country. I'll just go. And all of a sudden, there were no rental cars. All of a sudden, there was a storm. Like, there were all these things that were like, no, you're not going. And then at the end of the convention, like, one person had a heart attack in the parking lot. Someone else ended up with, like, cancer, like, the next week. Like, everyone got really sick. And also, that's not a, I mean, I think they were in there poking something. And then when they were like, yeah, no, there's no rental cars. I was like, okay, I'm not supposed to go.
Wow. Yeah. I don't know about the whole convention thing of going there. And like,
that's weird energy.
Yeah. Because I always think, like, if I went to some place like that, it's funny with me doing in paranormal investigations now, because the one thing I worry about is I'm like, what's the bathroom situation?
Yeah. Or the heat. Is the heat on? Yeah.
Yes. Because I'm like, I don't, you know, like, anyway, I have a whole thing of like, spirit, if I'm in the bathroom doing my business of any sort, I need you to not bother me.
Yes. And people forget you're sitting for 5 hours. So you're going to find out if there's heat.
Yes. And you got to, yeah, you got to, I'm like, what, you know, what's that situation? What are we dealing with? I can deal with anything else. Just tell me what the bathroom situation is. And we're good. But I, you know, like this one, if I land to it by sea, like I would love to sit there all night and really get a good feel of this place. Cause I think that there's a whole lot going on there that hasn't really been talked about yet. And I just adore when you can go in and you can talk to the different spirits from the different timelines, because I also like to find out, like, who is aware of who in the house.
Yes. You know, is that the name, One If I Land, Two If I See? Like, okay.
Yeah. And they did it because, from what I was reading, is because Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton were both associated with the Revolutionary War. And One If I Land, Two If I See was a code for then,
or where, how the British were coming.
How the British were coming. Ooh, I got chills.
Yeah.
And so apparently this place has been doing good, and I'm really glad about it. But I would love, like, I'd love to have a meal and then, like, create my own mystery dinner theater there.
Yeah.
And if anybody has been there that's listening to this, let us know your experience in the comments. And I would love to, you know, absolutely get down to that. Now, here you go. Now, would you investigate Bobby Mackey's? I want to know.
Me personally, no. I think I seen enough people walk out of that with a bad experience. But, you know, you are right about when it's a paranormal convention, you have a different energy and you have sort of this feeling of, if there is something in there, it's like, okay, if you want to see, I'll show you. Like, that in the Sally House, I think, are two places I would not at all be interested in going into.
There are certain places, like, it would depend on, can I be of service? And, you know, just because I can, should I?
Right. Yeah, I think this would be my gut feeling. Whatever is left in Bobby Mackey's, that's that territory. I would be amazed if there were souls there. That's not really what the legend or story has. Like, I just think that land has been whatever. I always like the phrase bad land, but I know at least three people that came out of there sick, which, again, if you're one person in there, that's a different energy than a whole bunch of people coming in to see what's there. Now you've got a huge, like, almost a challenge. And if it's a negative thing, it's going to take that challenge. But the only other one was the Sally House. And I don't think you can even do investigations there. And I worked with somebody that was on a show, and something awful followed him home. Something awful, that he had to go into a church and he wasn't really that paranormal. He was kind of a cute guy that got on a TV show, and he was not okay.
Oh, wow. So he was not aware of what was the energy that he was walking into, or. See, I was listening to a whole nother story where something like that happened to a paranormal investigator who didn't really believe in things, but got kind of really, really an eye-opening experience about what you need to be aware of going into those situations. And yeah, I mean, if spirit calls me to a place, you know, and I can be of service, I'll go in there. But like, just to mess around and find out, I don't know if I want to roll the dice on that, you know. But yep. I love me a good, like, find me a good graveyard to go walking through. I'm all there. Like, I don't think that many deceased people hang out in graveyards, but I think that it's kind of, I don't know what it is, but I think it's kind of like a transient energy in graveyards.
And also I feel like when I'm in them, because I do paranormal funny videos.
Yes.
When I'm in them, I feel like there is also this feeling of there's so much sorrow sometimes that it sort of attracts weird things, not necessarily the things that are supposed to be there or were buried there. But, you know, it's funny you mentioned those tunnels, because I used to work a comedy club in Portland, Oregon, and the city of Portland has all these Shanghai tunnels, and some of the restaurants still have the trap doors where they dropped people through. So the club, they put tours in there, all this other stuff. But the club was over a section of the tunnels that had not been, they used it for the club, but it had not been trafficked. You know what I mean? Like, people weren't doing tours and they didn't have tour guides and nobody really investigated. And I went down there for a 30-minute interview with the owner, who was a new owner. He was like, okay, I think this happened here. We got into the cellar, the microphone is on, and he goes, so let me show you what's over here. And there's an EVP that yells, help me. And there were so many EVPs, like in a 25-minute, 30-minute interview, there were so many. So I also think, you know, in these areas where they do the tours and everything like that, if something's out there, it wants the attention, but a lot of things just kind of drone it out. And I think because this was sort of like virgin area, holy cow, was it creepy. Right off the bat, help me. It was like, geez.
You're like, yeah, what do I do with that now?
Yeah. Like, and I think it was a residual, but there was almost like there was a soul keeper there. There's a guy that was a soul keeper, which I didn't know what that was till I got there. And then there was, you know, it was, but the stories were horrible. So the residual energy was crazy. Never mind what may have really been down there.
Wow. So that residual energy could have made an energy that's down there.
They had a lot of weird problems, a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And it's, you know, And some things people always say, like, do you want to go to this location? You know, Sally House and this and this. And it's like, you know, I don't think it needs to be investigated. I don't think I'm going to find anything else that hasn't already been told about there.
Like, and you can tell on a TV show if it's kind of being made bigger or if not. But that first friend that I met, he keeps me on the, I've made quite a few mistakes. Don't get me wrong. I've had a lot of problems. But God, thank God, he got me on the right track, because in the beginning, you're just like, let's go in and who wants to talk and I'll talk to anybody and here's a Ouija board and blah, 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 all that stuff. And then as you get older, you're like, yeah, let's go in slow and take a minute and not offend anyone and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I do. I tell people all the time, you know, it's like coming into somebody's house and introducing yourself to, like, as if they have family there. Like, hi, this is what I'm doing here. It's kind of your territory and all of that. And then seeing who wants to interact with you and who wants to have fun. Because I tell people, just like, they're just like us, only they don't have a body. And sometimes we don't want to talk to people. Like, sometimes maybe they don't want to talk to us. for whatever reason. You know, I don't know.
My favorite thing is still spirit photography. And it's very, very hard. And because even, you know, on video, you're constantly running, and on analog, you're really running. But to really catch that photo like that,
yes,
is fascinating. And there are certain people who seem to have permission and others who don't. And I know some people that would really get real photos very quickly or right off the bat. And she was actually a medium also, like you. I'm not medium yet. I call myself accidental medium. Every once in a while it happens, but I can't turn it on. But I think certain people have permission to take their photos. And I had a friend named Christopher Balzano, who was one of the pioneers in technical ghost hunting. And they had a house in Boston. And there, it was so just voices, voices, voices. And they were running a recording once. They weren't in the room. They were listening. They were recording, listening on the equipment. All this chatter. And one voice comes in and goes, "Shh, they're taping you." Silence.
I love it. Oh my God. That's golden.
Yeah. Wouldn't you love to be in that house, though, with all that chatter? Like, I've never been that in a positive. I feel like it was positive. I've been in negative places where I felt really uncomfortable. But a place like that where you're just hearing the voices.
Yeah, as a medium, I'd be like, oh, my God. There's a lot going on here all at one time.
Yeah.
You know, but people, you know, so the thing is, folks, don't underestimate the house or the location that you're stepping into, and just be prepared, be aware. You don't have to be fearful, mm-hmm. but just be aware of things. If your gut's saying no, don't go, then no, don't go. It's just as simple as that. You don't want to end up the ghost story yourself.
Yes. And I always feel like when something says it's a child, I rarely believe it.
I wouldn't believe that either. I'm always like, no, that's what a 1790s pedo would say.
Yeah.
Like, I won't be buying that bag of goods, sir.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, that is not for sale. But yeah. So let's, you want to play a little game?
All right. I'm up.
Okay. It's called, are we going to book it or are we going to book it out of there, girl? So we are going to go to one of my favorite Instagram pages that everybody knows about as soon as my computer starts working a little bit better. Here we go. There we are. Yes.
These are the old, old houses, right?
These are the old, old houses. Can you see this?
It's not on the screen yet.
It is not on the screen yet. Hold on. We are going to do this. Yes. Well, let's see. Magic of editing. Thank God that's...
There we go. All right, we're close. We got this.
That is not what I wanted. Magic of editing. We will... Stop
that. Was like a wormhole.
I know. I was like, that's not what I wanted.
You just opened a portal in my apartment.
I know. I was like, oh God. Now everybody can see. Hopefully my editor can cut all of this out. Okay. I chose this one just for you, Karen. Can you see it?
It's coming up right now. It's doing Okay. Waverly, Virginia.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I wondered if it was when I saw this listing, I was like, I wonder if it's near that Waverly Sanitarium. But I don't like to look at these houses before I get on here with people.
And I think that's in Kentucky, isn't it?
I don't know. I think it might be, but I'm.
That's a click away.
I haven't had my like 10th cup of coffee yet, so I'm not sure.
All right.
I know. So I picked this one for you. So we are in Waverly, Virginia.
Yeah, the same one's in Kentucky. Yeah.
So there's no real listing about this, but something I said, I have to look at this house. There's something that's going to pull me in. And that's that, because it looked creepy on the outside to me. It just did. Just something about this says I'm going to put a little glimmer over me, but like, I'm probably going to scare the crap out of you.
It feels cold.
Yeah.
Really cold.
So let's go in. Okay. We got side view. Okay. Front door. I'm not excited, but we're going in.
All right. Let's go in.
Okay.
Okay.
Go for it.
So maybe this is out here. I have had realtors show me pictures of places that look exactly like this, where like they have something, they'll leave and come back in the room and something has pulled a heavy bureau drawer out and turned it upside down and put it back in and then pulled it out. Like
this wow.
is the red walls and stuff. It doesn't give a good vibe. I'm not sure yet. I'm still on the fence. I need another photo.
I'm suspect about this, please.
Yeah. Because it looks bad, but I got to feel, not look.
It's really cliche, but I kind of feel dead inside in this house.
Yes, yes.
And I think that they painted this orange trying to bring back some emotion to them.
It doesn't feel good. And even, I know this is probably not a great, when you look going through that door, looking at that weird wallpaper, this house has not, it didn't just sit there. It's really sat there, because that wallpaper, we're not talking like 60s, 70s. We're talking long time. So there's a reason this kind of looks like it hasn't been upgraded at all.
Oh, it hasn't. And look. Ooh, I don't even know. Are those burn marks? Are those feather scorches? Like.
Yeah.
I just want to know, like, what's under the staircase. Like, it almost feels like there might be, like, some kind of, like, hidden, like, little nook or something under here.
Plus, that's the classic horror movie staircase.
Yep.
Down and around.
It really is. Okay.
You know, this place does upset my stomach. I don't know if there's a story with it, but I don't feel, yeah.
I'm not feeling like all that bright and hair, you know, lovey about it. There's features of the house that I'm liking. Like, I like that closet with those big, large shelves and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it feels like I don't want to be here anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
You know what else weirdly feels like? Oh, this is kid stuff. It feels like there were transients in there.
That could be it.
That this was empty, or homeless people might have, which no offense to them, they need a place to stay too. But it feels, you know, I live in a place that's furnished, just because when I leave, I just want to get in the car and go. I don't know things anymore. Furnished and other people, not bad people, just a lot of other people's energy is kind of yucky. And this feels like a place where somebody used to crawl in the back, and here we're going to do whatever we do, you know.
I don't need shelter.
I'd love to know how long this is empty.
I would love to, too, because usually they have an illustrious listing and they don't have any listing, any information.
Virginia is heavy. Virginia and Pennsylvania.
Heavy.
Crazy. Heavy.
So let's go on to the next one. But this time we're going to have to get on a plane and we're going to have to grab our passports, Karen.
All right.
Right? Because
they go to
Italy. Can you see this listing?
Okay. I can read some of it.
Just look at it. I'll read it to you because I think it's kind of small. Okay. I don't even know how to pronounce this city correctly. We're in Italy, everybody. Okay. Only Tuscany would find a giant palace decked out in elaborate for scones for under 200K. Every photo keeps getting better. Okay. Well, let's see if you're right. Okay.
200K. That's like, yeah, don't buy a house that's $30. That's a flag that something has happened there.
Yeah, exactly. So let's, I am, this is a very old home, so you're going to pick up on many different timelines, but I'm almost feeling like there was something to do with like a lot of plagues or like something of taking care of people. Like maybe it was a hospital at one time or something.
That stone holds a lot of, those stones hold a lot of feelings.
They do. They do. Oh my God. Now I would probably want to book it here just to stay in here.
I like this one better than the last one.
I like this one better than the last one.
Plus you might run into a really fascinating spirit here.
You might, and they, you know, it would be interesting to have even just a little bit of a conversation, because this looks like, you know, like a grand meeting room, or a, like maybe it was a ballroom at one time or something, but it just feels like, I don't know, I feel like really dizzy in here, like I'm being spun around.
Oh, yeah.
A lot, but I...
Look on the wall.
Huh? I know. So I, you know, and I actually kind of am liking that. I don't know what to call it, wallpaper decor, but that looks kind of nice. That blue. Oh, okay. We just got another shot of the room.
This isn't creepy like the other one.
No, this kind of feels like it's one of these houses that's been multiple things over time, but I still get that hospital vibe here. That like place where people come last resort.
Well, you know what else it feels like? It feels like when you have a palace or a castle, you have the rich people that live there, then you have the people that work there, and then you have sort of almost like different, every level of society economically, it seems to have a place there. And then they probably have children's residences where the children were, a lot of scattered, almost like a I almost want to say like a train station. So many different types in there.
Yes. It feels, you know.
You know, it's the only picture I keep getting, and it's not a scary one, but it's that a bunch of businessmen walked through here talking now, like I would say recently, and left, and they weren't buyers and they weren't sellers, but I don't know why they were, what they were in there looking for, but it feels weird. See this stuff? Is that a little coffin?
You know, there. This looks like an old leather suitcase, like a case.
Looks wooden, does it? Well, maybe
this almost looks like a fake photo.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like, I know it's not. I know it's in this house, but it looks like something you would see on social media and you go, oh, that's a fake photo. But this is not. Like, this is truly how the room is painted. And I would love to just sit in here and talk to whoever came in here.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Yeah, that, I mean, this is definitely one that I'm going to say I would definitely book a night or two here.
I go with you here. Also, this is some weird feng shui, but I wonder when you get closer to these pictures or these things, this would be like an antique store.
This would be, this is creepy twin bed setup though. That, yeah.
Small bed. That's that looks smaller than a,
yeah.
Yeah,
it looks creepy, and I think mirrors right next to the bed scare the crap out of people. Like, I just, you know, this just weird. But yeah, I do agree that feng shui in here, we need some help, people. Oh, I guess this used to be the kitchen.
Yeah, I think that looks like a ceiling's coming down.
Yeah. That looks like a lot of things are coming in this. Hence the 200K.
Yeah. No. You know, I don't want to buy. It's so funny because I know we're speaking, spend the night. I would spend the night, but I keep thinking, would I buy this?
I would not. Yeah. I would not buy it.
Yeah.
At all. But I would definitely want to be able to stay there and have a look around and have some fun and throw everything, you know, throw caution to the wind. And what gorgeous Italian person wants to speak with us that's of the highest and best to help
right
us.
And also a place like that to me doesn't feel like nothing's following you home. That's at their spot, they're staying, they've been there a bazillion years. There's no weird a bar with the transients. That's a little different.
Yeah, it really does explain everything. So Karen, tell us how folks can find you. Where are you at next? Like, tell them.
So go to KarenRontowski.com or ParanormalKaren.com or PsychicStandup.com. They take you all to the same place. And there you can sign up for my email list. I should send out more. I only send out like 2 a year. But I got dates coming up in Philly. I have dates in New Jersey. I'm going to Arizona. I'm going to be in this weekend. I'm going to be in Utah and Idaho. Might be past, but that's the best way to find out where I am. And then from there, you can find me on Instagram or TikTok. Rontowski is my last name, but I didn't even think to put it in there. But I'm at Rontowski everywhere and blue check. So just not on TikTok. Instagram blue check, so you're not following any of those creepy people. I will never ask you for a reading. Do I need to say that?
Yeah. Yeah, because it's... you know, I kind of mess with those people that, like, they'll approach me and they'll be like, I felt like I needed to be called to you and I have a message for you. And sometimes, Karen, like, I can't, it's the Scorpio rising in me and I'm like, really, you do?
No, no kamikaze messages, no kamikaze readings. You would set it up on my site.
Yeah, I always tell people, no, here's my link, you can choose your date and your time. And I don't know
anyone that does it the other way. It's ridiculous.
It is absolutely ridiculous. Well, this has been a marvelous time, and I hope to have you back here very, very soon. Come back and visit us here. And perhaps if we get, you know, some synchronicity going, maybe we can do an on-site investigation at some point, which I think would be so much fun.
I would love that. Yes. And I'm going to have you back on my podcast. We'll do a mix and match.
Yeah, we will. Okay, everybody, let us know in the comments what you think and let us know and have a great day out there, y'all.
Remember to visit our website at hauntedroadtripsshow.com and enjoy even more great episodes like this one. We look forward to seeing you next time. And remember, paranormal history is dying to be heard.